We made it, we made it, we made it. Thank God for his faithfulness, his protection. Hallelujah. I wrote a teaching letter, last one, about the covenant of protection. If you didn't get that, you ought to have it. Take it seriously, study it, because that's one of the benefits of redemption, the protection. Protection by the Spirit of God, by the host of heaven. Glory to God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We come before you humbly with all expectation. We receive it. It is the bread of life. It is the water that quenches every thirst. We thank you that our spirits are fed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we drink from the water of life, we receive life. To go, be life. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. All right. So last week we started talking about, and we're going to finish it today, by the grace of God. Woo, glory. But the gift of Christmas, the gift that some have not even opened. Some have only partially opened that gift. Amen. Consequently, the Father is hurting. Somebody says, God hurting. Oh, yeah, he's got emotions. Where do you think your emotions come from? From him. Amen. He's hurting because he sent a gift at Christmas to all his children, and most of them haven't even opened it. Think of that. You know, the heart of love is to give, and he is love. And nothing hurts love more than its gifts not being received. Not because love wants to prove something, but because until that gift is received, the circle is not complete, kind of. It's not broken, it's broken, it's not complete. The yearning is still there. And God sired them. His children, but they don't know him. They don't know him. My goodness. Groping in the dark, looking here, looking over there. And part of that is our fault. Those of us that do know him, son. We haven't always shown him to the world. We haven't always been bold enough to talk about him to the folks we know. Been intimidated too much by the devil or the companies we keep. Whenever the Lord opened doors, we just didn't go there. And we should have. So that's part of the reason why. And hopefully this coming year we change our ways. All of us could do better in that regard as far as that goes. And so most of the world don't even know, haven't opened that gift. And most of them, not even a little bit. I just don't even know him at all. And at this point of my study, I something came up. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go there? You know? And he said so. And then so I did. And then I was looking over my notes again. I thought, Lord, I got plenty more to say. Maybe I can skip this part. He said, don't ask me again. He did. Oh, yeah, he said, yeah. I already told you about the door. Don't ask me again. So here we go. So some of it may be controversial, but it is God's word. And I've touched on this some before. So God sent a gift to everybody. Did you know that? Why? Because they're all his children. See, that's the controversy. Every human being is God's child. I didn't say they're all going to heaven. I didn't say that. Because they're not all going to heaven. Unfortunately. There's plenty of room at the cross, though. There is room at the cross for you. Amen? There's plenty of room for everybody. Everybody's not going to choose to go there. They are all his kids. Jesus died for who? The whole world. Why? Because they're all his kids. You can't imagine how controversial that is in some places. For God so loved the world, huh? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and he's still looking to the dead, and hoping, and believing. He said, God, believing, oh yeah, he's a God of faith. He believed you into the kingdom. Did you know that? Amen. We're all his children. I didn't say all is going to heaven, because we all must receive Jesus, must receive the gift. Look at John chapter 1. Somebody said, "Ah, if you don't receive you know, Jesus as Lord and Savior, not God's child, who told you that?" you may not be home yet. What you are a prodigal son or daughter. That's what you are. Left home. Rebel. Want to do your own thing. That don't mean that you're not still his child. They haven't given up on you. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. Let's start from verse 6. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men, through him, might believe. All of them. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the light, the true light, which lighteth every man. Huh? Every man. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The M in the man should be capitalized. Hallelujah. The light of God is what gives us life. That's when he sired us. Your race, your you know, IQ, the way your face looks, all of that you got from your mom and dad. But what makes you alive, what gave you life, the Spirit of God was deposited in you. That's what gave you life. That's how he sired everybody. So he has an unshakable claim on every human. Hallelujah. That was the true light that lighted every man. Huh? Every man. Every human being. The child of God. Again, I didn't say they're all going to heaven. they won't go to heaven until they open that gift. See that? That's a connection. Till they open that gift and receive it. You say now, if they're the children of God, but they're not all going to heaven until they open that gift, what happened? They sinned and rebelled. That's what happened. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you want to know, if you want to know the Bible, if you want to know God, you want a revelation of the love of God. There's nothing like it. And that's been my search. That's been the focus at the bottom of all of my desire to know God, to know, to get more and more and more revelation of the love of God. And I'm speaking to you from that, from the little bit I've gleaned from it. And we've made plain mistake as a church and say some things that are not exactly scripture. Okay, look at Romans chapter 7. God sired every human being. They are all his children. Again, they are not all going to heaven unless they receive the gift of Christmas. Why? Because something happened that messed things up. I thought we were born sinners. Who told you that? See, that's what you get from you going to read the Bible and study it. You're not born a sinner. It's not possible. Yeah, but David said, in sin was I conceived, all that. You can't be born in sin without being born a sinner. Amen. You can't be born in righteousness without being born righteous. My children were born in righteousness. Amen. I was a Christian. By the time, you know, I had my kids, they were born in righteousness. That didn't make them righteous automatically because they were born in righteousness. Just because your mother is a prostitute doesn't mean you're born a prostitute. Amen. You can become one, but you're not born that way. You're not born a prostitute. If you're born in prostitution, the life of prostitution may exert an overwhelming influence on you and cause you to yield in that direction. That didn't mean you were born a prostitute. I was just read, the life that's in you came from God. Did God give you a corrupted, dirty, evil, sin spirit? No. He gave you part of himself. How could it be? How could you have been born in sin then? That's something else that the church would have messed up about. No, you weren't born in sin. You sinned later. I blame God for it. Folks who look to David's prayer and say, well, David said, if David was claiming that what he did against Uriah and Bathsheba was because he was born in sin, then he wasn't even repenting at all. You can't say, I'm sorry, but, huh? That's not forgiving. That's not forgiveness. That's not asking forgiveness. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, but. No, you're sorry or you're not. If you apologize, you're not. So if David was claiming that he did what he did because he was born in sin, then he was blaming God for it. Of course he wasn't. Nobody was. Here's a scripture that proves it. You can read the entire chapter and so forth. But look at verse 9, Romans 7, 9. For I was alive. I was alive without the law once. I was alive to God, that is. Me and God were connected. Before sin came, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, when I reached the age of accountability, I had a choice to do right and do wrong. And I chose wrong. That's what every human being that has ever lived on this planet has done, other than Jesus. Everybody has chosen to sin. The first time you sinned, you messed it all up. You died. Just like Adam and Eve died when they sinned. Adam didn't sin for us.
Lord Jesus.
No, he sinned for himself. Sin is selfish. You sin for yourself. But his sin made it easier for us to sin because we were then born in this sin bubble. Everything goes in that direction. So once you come up the age of accountability, it's hard for you to have to yield that sin. Hence, you have to be born again because you have messed up the first birth. You did it. God didn't do it. You weren't born a sinner. Amen. And so then to be born again, you have to receive the gift of Christmas. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And be born anew. I was alive without the law once. When was that? Before the age of accountability. That's why children go to heaven. Huh? Did you know that? Children don't have to be born again and go to heaven. Before they reach the age of accountability, they are alive to God. Some people don't know that. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I sinned. I yielded to sin and I died. Hence, I have to be born again. Jesus never yielded to sin. See, He never yielded to sin. He was made to be sin. He carried our sin to the cross without actually sinning himself, because he never yielded. All of us, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the rest of us, sin. We weren't born that way. God gave us a perfect beginning. Spirit from him. The light that lighteth everyone that comes in the world. Which is why we're all God's children. A picture of this is the prodigal son. Right? He grew up at home and then later rebelled and says, I'm going to do my own thing. And took off. So what we're dealing with is a whole bunch of prodigals who should return home by receiving the gift of Christmas. Amen. Here are some other indications in scripture. Job 19 verse 25. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Redeemer? To redeem, you redeem something that belonged to you to begin with, that you somehow lost possession of. Isn't how that works? Redeemer. Okay? Look at this scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're all God's children, but we have to, because we sinned and lost it, became prodigal, we have to receive the gift of Christmas to be born again. Come back home. Get out of the pig pen and the sloth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Yeah. Look at verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. The redemption of the purchased possession. How did he purchase it? With his blood? And the purchasing was nothing but the redemption. He redeemed us. We are the redeemed of the Lord. What does that mean? We came, we belong to him, but he lost temporary possession of us when we sinned. And so he paid the price to get us back. Glory to God. And he has. It's like going to the pawn shop and redeeming your stuff from the pawn shop. We're redeemed because we belong to him. Lost our way. So he came after us. He came after us. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. So we're talking about how that, you know, most humans have never even opened the gift of Christmas. Although they belong to him. They're lost. Think about the word lost. I'll get that meaning. Luke chapter 19, look at verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Huh? Think about that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you lose your keys at the end of church today, you're like, oh, my keys, I can't, I've lost my keys. Do those keys not still belong to you just because you don't have them in your possession? They're still your keys. You just lost them. They belong to him. He just lost them. That's our task, to bring them back home. That's what evangelism is all about. Bringing them back to the Father. Because they rightly belong to him. He sired them. The devil is a dead spirit. Can't sire anybody. Well, you know, a few people turn themselves over to him, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Huh? They were mine. I lost them, so I came to get them back. All the time that they are lost, they still belong to me. They are still my children. Even though they are not home. Amen. Lots of parents have rebellious kids. That don't mean they're not still their kids. They are. Hallelujah. So what we ought to do is stop calling people who are not believers the children of the devil. Huh? Don't give the devil what he doesn't have. Amen. And there are a few of them that are truly the children of the devil. But not all unbelievers. Most unbelievers are simply dominated by their flesh. That's what it is. They do everything that feels good. Huh? They say, I mean, you're just dominated by the flesh. That's all. That's really what it is. And those of us who are born again know how that is. Every now and then, our flesh, you know, has a better part of us. Okay? But of course, they are completely, every day, every minute, dominated by the flesh. That's what it is. Wayward children, lost, in need of redemption. Amen. And so, like I said, there are a few of them that are truly children of the devil. How do you know? How can you tell? Well, listen to this, and then I'll show you the scriptures. Only spiritual adults can become children of the devil. You have to know what you're doing spiritually. Not just being blinded and, you know, by the flesh. And on purpose, you have to become a child of the devil on purpose. Not by default. God loves people too much to set it up that way. Where you just kind of become the child of the devil by default. No. You have to choose him. And you don't choose him just because your flesh has overcome you and got you in all this swirl of sin and this. No. The love of the Father goes way beyond that. He can see that you're just caught up in stuff. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. I mean, isn't that how you're supposed to love your children? You don't just up and disown them the first time they drag the family's name in the mud, do you? You know? Oh, you disgrace the family. Oh, you're not my child anymore. Is that how you do? Why would you think God would do that? Set it up so that the devil can just strip you out and you get in all the flesh and all of a sudden now you are the devil's child? No. No. All God's children. By the way, let me, we'll come back to that minute. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here are the three classifications of God's children. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 32. I could quote it to you, but I want you to see it. Some of you have seen this before, but give not offense, neither to the Jews, that's one class of God's children, neither to the Gentiles, another class of God's children, neither to the church of God. The church of God are the class of God's children that are home. They have come home. Amen. Mm-hmm. These other two haven't come home yet. But we already know the plan for the Jews coming home. If you read the scriptures, you know that. Romans chapter 10 clearly lays that out. The Gentiles were supposed to be out there trying to get them. Hey! Father sent me to come get you. That's evangelism. Instead of saying, you child of the devil. I mean, what kind of brotherly message would that be? My. Okay, look at the book of Acts. Let me show you the class of people that can scripturally be called children of the devil. Like I said, you have to become a child by on purpose, not by default. God loves you too much to let you become somebody else's child by default. Look Look up chapter 13. Look at verse 4. So then, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, Cyprus, and came to Salamis, preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Verse 6. Let's talk about Paul and Barnabas, right after they were ordained. And when they had come, verse 6, through the isle unto Paphos, they came to see that they found a certain sorcerer. Okay, now, this is a spiritual adult. I didn't say spiritual good. This is someone who knows the reality of the spirit world. And they've chosen the wrong side of it, huh? But they still are quite aware of the power and the reality of the spirit world. Most of the folks who call the children of the devil have no clue. They've been dominated by what looks good, feels good, sounds good. That's it. That's their world. They have no real revelation of the realm of the spirit. Amen. This man does. He's a sorcerer. Yeah, he uses evil spirit power to control people. So folks like that are bona fide kids of the devil. They've given themselves over to him on purpose, not by default. They enjoy controlling people through that occult power. And here's what this person did here. Verse 6 again. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Isn't that interesting? he's trying to put a smoke screen over folks so they don't know. They don't think his power is real. That it's, well, it is real. They think it's real good. On the good side, which is not. Which was with the deputy in the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Amen. But he didn't want that. Huh? Because he's of the wrong spirit. He deliberately, so you see the way this man is operating, he deliberately doesn't want that to happen. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, who stood them seeking to turn away the deputy from their faith. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O fool of all subtlety, cunning that is, and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Indeed. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Folks like that can, and only folks like that, can biblically be called children of the devil. Most of everybody else will call that folks who are just lost. Huh? They're just lost. Full of the flesh. Just doing stuff. Because it feels this, looks that, and so forth. And that's our field. We're supposed to get to those folks and let them know where they truly belong. So when Jesus came preaching, you must be born again. Why? Because your first birth, as perfect as it was, got messed up. The first time you sinned, you died. Like I said, when Adam and Eve sinned, they died. And so did you. So did I. And from then on, we had to get born again. And so John 3:7 is where Jesus said that you must be born again. Because the first birth has been messed up. The second birth is a rebirth of your spirit, right? The thing that makes you, you. When we say you die physically, that's because you left the body. You're gone. And your body folds because what was giving your body life was you, the real you. Most like what's giving this close life is the me that's wearing them. Amen. When I get home, I'm going to take this off and drop it. Unless I hang it up, it'll be dead. Because there's no life in it. So the second birth is a rebirth of your spirit because it died when you sinned. Now, it died does not mean it ceased to exist. Spiritually, you cannot ever cease to exist. Never. Because see, that part came from God. He would have to cease to exist for you, really, truly, to cease to exist. Which is why you're going to spend eternity in one or two places. And it's your choice. It's your choice. And God wants you to spend eternity with Him. But you have to decide that. You have to decide that. You have been alive before you sinned, the first time. I was alive to God once, but the commandment came. And I sinned, then died. You had been alive, but when you sinned the first time, you died. So you have to be reborn. This time around, though, if you sin, you don't die again because the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the blood. Woo, thank God for the blood. The blood of Jesus has been applied if you receive your forgiveness. You can keep on living. Amen. You can keep on living. In fact, Jesus said if you receive Him, you'll never die again. That's the truth. You'll never be separated. That's what it really means to die. For a spirit to die is for that spirit to be separated from the life of God. It doesn't mean it ceases to exist. It simply is separated from the life of God. Mm-hmm. And when you're born again, you're reunited with the life of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so these are folks who have not even opened the gift. See, I haven't digressed. Haven't opened the gift of Christmas. And we too often, too erroneously, just, you know, give them up. Oh, then let you know the devil. No. He can't be redeemed. He came to get that which belonged to Him, which He lost. He came to get it back. And He wants our help. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Really, if you thought about it, if you think about it really, seriously, it's like helping family members get out of the rain. Amen? Mm. That's what it is. Mm. Amen. Look at Matthew 23. So like we said last week, it's not just those of us who are New Testament, New Covenant people. But old covenant people made the same mistake. They just didn't know Him. They didn't grow close to the Lord. Here is one of the saddest scriptures, words that Jesus spoke. My. Look at verse 37. Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jesus is looking over the city. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken on her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't let me. You would not let me. Oh, how I desire to reveal myself to you more perfectly, but you wouldn't let me. You won't let me. You won't let me. You won't give me the time of day to do it. You're always busy, errands, gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta watch this, gotta listen to this. Gotta call this, gotta call that. Don't give me the time of day. Can I get a witness? Amen. Just like the old covenant people were still there. Busy. The more technological advanced we become, the more we seem to ignore the things that really matter. I mean, most of communication are more advanced than ever, and less communication is taking place than ever before. Now you can go somewhere and order something, and next day it's on your door. You don't even have to go anywhere and talk to anybody. Don't even go to Walmart, see anybody. You can just stay at home all day long, every day. And just get your stuff brought in. I came from, I don't know where I went, I saw bags of salt. I mean, we have one of those filtration stuff. We just have to go get it. My wife ordered that. I thought, you can order that? I didn't know. Those things are heavy. 6-7 bags of them. I thought, you can't order that? And it dawned on me, I'm like, wow, you just could just stay home and go nowhere. Remember malls? People used to go to the mall. I don't know. I guess they're going to shut down malls now. Teenagers used to fellowship in malls, right? That's one of the best places teenagers had. Now they got a little thingy and they. In the midst of all that, we've shut God out too. He wants us to know Him. I read you Isaiah chapter 1 last week. For the Lord calls up to heaven and earth to witness. What is this, heaven and earth? What else have I got to do? Even the donkey knows his master. Mm-hmm. But my people don't know me. The Father craves to be known. Look at Isaiah 55. He wants to be known. He wants us to know Him so we can experience more of Him. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's a lot packed in that. Some folks get born and go to heaven and think that's all there is to it. Unfortunately, too many of those are living in hell on earth. Well, that's it. 55. Look at verse 8. God gave us His word so we know Him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways your ways. This was not a condemning, condescending statement. It's a statement of fact. I'm up there, you're down here. You can read the rest of those verses. So I gave you my word to bridge a gap. You take my word and you can come to where I am. In peace, in joy, in patience, in healing, you can come up here. Come up. That's what he's saying. Know me more. Get to know who I am. You are my child. You ought to be like me. If he can't touch me, he ought not be able to touch you. Hallelujah. So he gave his, we can read verses 9 and 10. He gave his word. Look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. That means you're supposed to return my word to me. If I said by his stripes you will heal, whenever sickness comes to get on your body, return those words to me. Amen. So the sickness can know not to mess with you. But he shall accomplish that which I please. What is it that he pleases? That you are in health? Huh? You're wealthy, healthy, and wise. That's what he pleases. It comes by his word. And he shall prosper in the thing where to assent it. He wants to be known. Look at Mark chapter 3. We talk about opening that box and looking it and taking every gift out of that box. And not being satisfied that, okay, well, I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, what about the rotten here and now? Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it's so here and now. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's something else that's come up in my spirit. Much of the church thinks the preaching of the gospel is so that people will receive Jesus and go to heaven. That's a part of it. The bulk of it is living on this earth as it is in heaven. The abundant life. We don't preach the gospel just so that people can have no excuse. Sometimes that's how some Christians think about the gospel. If they don't know it, then they're going to die and go to hell. Listen. If we never preach the gospel today, everybody knows, already knows. God will have a standard of judgment of every human being that's ever lived. Think about this now. How is God going to judge all of those who died before Jesus came and died? Huh? They didn't have the gospel. Or did they? Amen? Oh yeah, what about those guys? In Noah's generation, from all the way from Adam. What about them? There was no John 3:16. The scriptures talk about the law of conscience. Every human being has a conscience. Every human being knows God exists. So he would have a standard to judge them. The gospel is to help us live abundant life on this earth. And then carry it on to heaven. Now that's just the icing on the cake. It is. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Right here. Before they go to heaven. Right here. Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. God wants us to know him, to grow. And he goeth up into a mountain, talk about Jesus, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. Why? That they should be with him. Huh? Before anything else, to be with him. Why? To know him. Before they can go out and preach, you gotta know the person you're preaching about. And I'm not talking here just about Christian. I'm talking about just preacher. I'm talking about every believer. Because we're all supposed to be witnesses, right? Light and salt. Well, we have to know better who it is that we're witnessing about. He called them to be with him. You spend enough time with anybody, you'll know them. The more time you spend with anybody, the more you know them. The more time we spend with God, the more we know him. That's the key. Time. So he called them that they will be with him, comma. I like the way they punctuated that. So number one task was to be with him. That's the first task. Wasn't going to go out and preach. The preaching part flowed out of being with him. Why do I always have more than I can preach? Because I spend a lot of time. Especially on Saturdays. I play tennis. And that's it. Sometimes it's like all day long. Well, I can tell you that. So when someone says, well, One person asked me one time, do you ever run off something to preach? I'm like, what? Really? No. If you spend enough time here, you have a lot more than you can ever preach. He called them to be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Huh? That's the priority, being with him. Being with him. Being with him. Someone says, I like to witness, but I just know what to say. If you spend enough time with him, you will know what to say. You will know. You will know what to say. You don't have to have gone to seminary. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Almost there. Have to finish this today. We'll finish this today. Hebrews 8, verse 10, the Bible says God wants to put his laws into our hearts. Huh? He lives in us and wants to put his law, has put his laws in our hearts. Why? Because he wants us to know him. I mean, it's one thing to be with someone or to live in some house with someone. It's another thing to be inside someone. Amen? I mean, how much closer can you get? He wants to be close. He took up residence in us. And if we spend enough time with him, the more we do that, the more we know him. Why is it so critical to know God? Daniel 11 verse 32. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Mm-hmm. You have to know him to be strong, do exploits. What does that mean? It means to be able to buck the curse big time. To be able to enjoy abundant life. Like I said before, what would happen if Christians just lived longer than everybody else? Huh? What would happen if Christians just did better financially than everybody else? That's his plan. If Christians were healthier than everybody else, that's his plan. That would do tremendous exploits to the kingdom. They would want to know, what's your secret? Amen. Let's get to know God this coming year more. Again, all of that boils down to time. Time. How do we get to know God better? Spend time, more time with him in his word. You become familiar with him. Somebody says, I don't know. If you spend enough time in his word, you have no problem hearing him when he speaks to you. You can tell his voice in the midst of a thousand other voices. Amen? Oh, yeah. If I called you on the phone, I'm sure I would have to tell you, this is Pastor Sheena, you know. Because you've heard my voice so many times. Likewise, you don't have to tell me who you are. I know your voice. Time. To know God's voice, to be able to distinguish it, spend time in his word. Revelation. Know his character, know his voice, know his nature. Someone says, you know, God broke his leg, similar last. And no. That's not the God I've been reading about in scripture. No. See, you know his nature, you know his character. In some cases, you may not be able to tell scripture and verse, but you know, and no, that can't be God. Thank you, Lord. Talk with him. Spend time praying in the spirit. Huh? Like I said, those statistics, very few of the church is Pentecostal. Many have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you now. I mean, you know, these are not doctrinal positions to disagree about and to, but they're just givings, things that ought to be commonplace. A cat meows. A child of God ought to be full of the Holy Spirit and be able to speak in tongues. That's the one language. Did you know? That's the one language the devil cannot speak. Isn't that something? Isn't that revelation? Your spiritual language, whatever whichever one God gave you, is the only language the devil cannot speak. When you get over there, he is lost as a goose in the storm. Worse than that. That's one reason why he's fought it so hard. Because he has no idea what you're saying. He can speak Portuguese, Spanish, Etulo, Tiv. What's a Nigerian language, by the way? He can speak Yoruba. He can speak Swahili. You name it. He knows all of them. The one language he doesn't know is when you break out in tongues. Mm-hmm. He is lost. Mm-hmm. That's why he's fought it so badly. Book of Acts, chapter 2. Then Peter, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, after he had preached and wanted to know what to do, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off. That would include us. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I mean, how can you argue with that scripture? It's an entitlement for every believer. And yet, it's become a matter of doctrine now, where we disagree and we're this and we're that. We all ought to be Pentecostals. Every child of God ought to be. Meaning, the ability to speak with other tongues. Not just for the sake of it, because there are some real benefits from it. But that's the subject for another day. Thank you, Lord. That's part of the equipment of the believer. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So we can talk with him. We can have a running conversation with him. Amen. You know, should you take this route or take this route as you run your errands? Amen. Have somebody reading the scriptures to you, preaching to you in the car. Yes, I hear a lot of news and so forth. But you know, after that, after you know the murder and the this and that and the other, I mean, there's good news. Spend more time, even when you're driving, listening to the Word of God. He said, but I'm not putting much attention. You'd be surprised how much your spirit is catching in, because that's its food. Don't spend all your day listening to music, especially ungodly music or even Christian music that says nothing about anything. It's just entertainment. Allow your ears to hear more of the Word of God. That's knowing God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know in whom I have believed. Do you? Do I? Has this become cultural? You know, going to church can become a cultural thing, you know, before. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. How do you know that you know him? Good question, is it not? When the Bible is the book for you. I mean, I know I'm taking you back to Sunday school, but The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Amen. What do you do when crisis shows up? Where do you look first? Do you turn to the scripture? You know, in your mind at least, if you're not, don't have it in your mind at least, and search for scriptural principles that you can apply here. That's knowing God. When you turn to Him first. Knowing God. The Bible is the only true and essential revelation of God in the earth. Only. Essential because the Bible is not necessarily the complete revelation of God. There's so much to God that you can't contain it in 66 volumes. But we have all we have to have. Live the abundant life on earth. I'll just show you the scripture that we'll wrap it up. Look at John. It is the essential revelation, the only essential revelation. There's not any other. The Bible's not saying, yeah, they ain't trying to tell me anything. Well, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm not trying to tell you anything the Bible's not saying. Doesn't say. John chapter 21. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the word itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. But it is an essential revelation, the only essential revelation, the only truthful an essential revelation about God in the earth. That's what the Bible is. And don't take my word for it. Look at the book of John. Unless you think Jesus was a liar. I know I'm being blunt, but yeah. That subject matter calls for being blunt. Here's what he said about himself. John 14. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Huh? Which means there's no other way. Yeah, what about that? Yeah? Oh, Jesus said, I am the way. What about this one? Jesus said, I am the way. The truth and the life. Which means outside of me, there's not life anywhere else. Yeah, but what about I am the way, the truth, and the life. Unless he was lying about it. No man, huh? Cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. Not only am I the way, I'm the only way, Jesus said. Oh my. Many of those prodigals have been caught up in certain other forms of belief. He says, no man can come to the Father except by me. I am it, Jesus says. Amen? Amen. So knowing him is crucial in terms of being able to persuade the prodigals to come back home. Father, misses you. Sent me to tell you to come back home. He has missed your place at the table. Remember the 23rd Psalm says, you set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now here's the test of knowing God. Do you know God? What would you do if all of your favorite Bible teachers, Bible preachers, pastors went to a meeting, got together at the conference and then came out of there and said, and issued a statement that said, after 50, 60, 70 years of, you know, preaching the gospel and reading the Bible, we have concluded that the virgin birth could not have taken place. Jesus was a good teacher, but he was not God. God doesn't have a son. And all ways lead to heaven. What would you do? What would you think? God is so full of love. There are lots of many, many ways to God. Wouldn't that sound very reasonable? What would you do? What would you do? What would most Christians do? Huh? Some say, oh, I've wanted a time or two. It's so funny, but you know. Amen. That's when you know that you know him. Amen. When you know your knower, that if everybody you knew as a Christian decided, you know what, I don't think there's much to this, that I would still hold on to my Bible. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's when you know that you know him. Not that you're there yet, but you're on the right path. Too many Christians can't say that. Because they've never developed a relationship with Jesus to know this is personal. They've never opened that gift. They've never made a decision in life. I am going to continually find out what all I don't know about this gift. And that ought to be our task. Forever. Forever. Amen. Because we're always growing him. Amen.
Amen.
The gift of Christmas. It's a gift that keeps on giving. And we'll always have more to give than you can receive. Amen.
Amen.
In every area of life. More faith, more joy, more patience, more goodness than you can handle, because that gift was God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you thanks. Thank you for the gift of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We have everlasting life, and it starts now. We are saved from the curse of spiritual death, the curse of poverty, the curse of sickness and disease. We are saved from it. We have a Savior. We have a Father. We are not orphans. My goodness. Thank you, Father. Abba, Father. Daddy, God. We want to reflect you more perfectly, Father. To be salt, to be light. To bring peace to situations that are unpeaceful. To bring solutions. We rededicate our lives today, Lord, for this one mission. To live in a way that helps others find you. Get back home where they belong. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Friend, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? He would like to get to know you. He died for you. You probably thought about this and put it off and put it off and put it off. The time to put it off has come and gone. It's time to receive Jesus today. No regrets whatsoever. Amen. Not one of those things that you know, they pass some laws that you have a biased remorse. No. You have no remorse about this at all. not for a minute. So receive Jesus today. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as such. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I release my prayer language so I can worship you and talk with you, to you, keeping the devil in the dark. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. Thank you for that direction. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. My friend, I add my faith to your faith, and for all the rest of your life, now that you received Jesus, began your journey, all of the things that, you know, listening to this and that and the other and so forth, all of walking your life, you'll start to bring him, start to save the entirety of your life. That's what he does. If you give him the time of day, listen to him and do as he says, you're not going to walk this perfectly. If you fall, get up. Don't stay down. Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. He's plenteous in mercy. Slow to anger, the Bible says. I know. All of us that are believers know that. So don't get discouraged if you fall and stumble and so forth. Just get up and go again. 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 As the righteousness of God in Christ. I add my faith to your faith for your healing and your financial prosperity and all the situation in your family, if you have any children and so forth, marriage and so on, be sorted out and be set aright in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, if you live anywhere around here in the Austin area, 100 miles, come see us. It's better life than not. If not, keep listening, and we love you, and we'll see you again. Amen. Glory to God.